is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is Cody Westerlin of 670 The Score, alongside co-host Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and Pro Basketball Talk. And as always, Sean, where can they find us?
Well, you can find us on iTunes, you can find us on Stitcher, subscribe on either of those platforms and leave us a 5-star review. And you can follow us on Twitter at Hyken, at Cody Westerlund, and at Locked On Bulls. If you want to send us questions on there, we read those. We will respond to as many of them as we can on the show. Email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com with questions for the show or advertising inquiries. Find us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. We're kind of pretty easy to find now. We're all over the place.
Absolutely. And most of all, spread the word to your friends. Tell your coworkers. Tell your mom, your pops. You can tell your grandma and grandpa. It might take 20 minutes to show them how to download a podcast episode, but it could be an entertaining 20 minutes. So spread the word to your friends, and we'll spread the word about the Bulls. And today the Bulls introduced first-round pick Denzel Valentine to the Chicago media, 14th overall pick in the draft last Thursday night. He's a 6'6" wing, and the word of the day was versatility, I think, again, right?
Absolutely. They used that word several times to, you know, every single time we've asked, you know, what his strengths are, what his position is. Fred Hoiberg, who was talking to the media for the first time since the Derrick Rose trade, and we'll get a little bit of his reaction after that, but he said that the thing that he likes the most about him is his versatility. Gar Forman mentioned his versatility. We asked Denzel what his preferred position was, and he said he didn't have one. He said he can play 1-3 and guard 1-4. So I think they're really just going all in on this, we can play him a lot of different places thing.
Absolutely, and I think the thing for Denzel as far as where he can play and how much he can play for the Bulls will, even though this is Fred Hoiberg coach team, even though they drafted him knowing what he can do offensively, allowing the versatility for the Bulls, it will come back a lot to who he can guard. And Denzel said he can guard 1-4. And, you know, we've been talking to a lot of people, just getting their impression, people who watch college basketball more than we did. And he was okay defensively, I think. As a senior, he got a lot better than he had been. Now it's a different step for him in the NBA to go out there. I don't know if he can. He can't go out there and guard James Harden, but I don't know how often he can go out there and guard a traditional 2 or 3 who's really quick off the bounce. So the Bulls will have to be careful with those matchups and mismatches that might come. But, you know, as Sean said, it was versatility. Fred Hoiberg pointed out on several occasions how Denzel Valentine can open up the offense for others. And I thought one of the key components or kind of one of the key quotes of the day was Fred saying, asked about the point guard situation, which is kind of in flux for the Bulls with Jose Calderon, Jaren Grant, and Spencer Dinwiddie in the picture. Etuan Moore is a free agent. It doesn't seem like there's just a guy standing out right now. Fred said, you know, you don't have to have a pure point guard in the traditional sense if everyone can kind of handle the ball, or you have lots of people who can handle the ball. And I thought that was interesting, and I kind of read into that as giving Denzel some responsibility.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think they're probably going to try to run him at some one alongside Jimmy. I'm skeptical about how well that can work, just thrusting a rookie into that kind of spot. I mean, it was only in his third season that, you know, the biggest example we can think of in the last few years of a team using kind of a non-traditional point guard is Jason Kidd using Giannis as a point guard in Milwaukee. But that took until his third season and for him to really have the trust in Giannis to decide to do that. And that's, you know, and that's a guy who's a freak athlete and like a one-of-a-kind athlete like Giannis. I don't see Denzel, you know, growing into a point guard role that quickly.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how much they use him, because hanging over this, clouding everything, I think, with the Bulls and how Denzel fits in and how everyone else fits in is obviously the Jimmy Butler, just kind of, I guess, experience, him being the team leader, obviously the best player now, and the focus is on Jimmy. And as much as today was Denzel's introductory press conference, There were a lot of questions about Jimmy Butler, about Fred Hoiberg's relationship with Jimmy Butler.
A lot of Jimmy talk, yeah. And, you know, Fred mentioned that he went out to L.A. a couple weeks ago and met with Jimmy, and they've had good talks, and that they've had good talks when Jimmy has been at the Advocate Center the last couple of weeks working out. So he seemed pretty optimistic that their relationship is going to be a little bit better than it was last season when, you know, obviously they had that incident in December when they lost a game in New York, and then Jimmy told media that Fred needs to coach them harder.
Yeah, and I kind of wonder sometimes, Fred won't say this on the record, but how much easier or how much less drama there would be if Jimmy just hadn't said those two or three words. And I think they're past it, but it will always be a flashpoint and a big indicator to point back to of there being problems that were there in Jimmy just accepting the entire offense and embracing everything. Now, the exit of Derrick Rose, I think, obviously makes it Jimmy Butler's team, but I also think it makes it easier on Fred Hoiberg because he has one mind, one focus to get on the same page with Jimmy Butler and build an offense around him. And fit Denzel Valentine is going to fit into that. He's going to be a key piece. We don't know what the starters are yet. I don't even believe that question got asked today. It's a better question to ask when free agency's done anyway and we see who the Bulls bring back. But whether Denzel Valentine starts or not, he's going to have an important role in this year because, I mean, the Bulls are obviously, call it whatever they want, they're basically rebuilding right now is the sense you get. And he's going to have to fit into that, but he has to fit alongside Jimmy Butler, and Denzel Valentine said he respects Jimmy Butler, loves how he competes, and he really thinks that he can fit beside him.
He even mentioned that Jimmy sent him a congratulatory text after the draft, and so did Doug McDermott.
Yeah,
so things are off to a great start already.
If I was a betting man, I would have bet Doug immediately was going to send.
Doug had that text on deck and just ready to put in whoever's number got drafted.
Yeah, Doug is a man of the people, good guy. So that doesn't surprise me. And no, it doesn't surprise me either that Jimmy reached out too, because I think he understands how important Denzel will be for the Bulls. But Denzel Valentine can shoot the basketball too.
Fred also said that Jimmy is going to be spending some time with the team out in Vegas, because he's going to have to be out there anyway because he's on the Olympic team that just got announced today. And they're doing their training camp in Vegas the week after Summer League. And so he's going to be out there working out anyway. And Fred seemed to indicate, I don't think he said this explicitly, but he seemed to indicate that Jimmy is going to be out there with their group, just spending some time out there. He did say that five guys on the Summer League, on the Bulls roster as of now, are going to be playing at Summer League, and that's Bobby Portis, Denzel Valentine, obviously, Jaren Grant, Chris Felicio, and Spencer Dinwiddie, and Doug McDermott is going to practice with the team in Vegas but not play. Pete Myers, who's one of the assistant coaches under Fred Hoiberg, is going to be coaching the team. Fred coached them last year.
Yeah, and I tweeted this today. I think, I mean, the Bulls just might wreck some teams in Summer League. Most teams trot out, like, what, two roster players?
Two or three guys who are actually on the team. The Bulls' entire starting five, if Jaren Grant and
Spencer Dinwiddie
is their backcourt. I mean, their entire roster, you know, you have Bobby at the four, Chris Felicio at the five. Their entire starting lineup is guys who are actually going to be on the team. So.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm guessing Grant has Summer League experience last year.
Yeah, he played last year.
But we know Portis and Chris Felicio are kind of Summer League veterans now.
Well,
so.
I mean, Chris basically got a roster spot because of how well he played at Summer League last year, and Bobby Portis was very impressive at Summer League last year too. So they're gonna be hanging the banner at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas.
Absolutely, could have a Bulls championship in Summer League.
I'm really excited, by the way, for that to become a talking point for Gar Forman for free agents.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the joke of the day, obviously, on Twitter, I think several of you pointed out that the Bulls have a great second unit now and just need to find five good starters. Four more good starters.
Well, the joke of the day was Fred Hoiberg saying that he was really excited about getting back Brook Lopez in that trade.
Yeah.
Which makes me think, I wonder if he's also going to miss Marc Gasol when he leaves in free agency.
Yeah, that'd be the day. But Freudian slip, I think, for Fred there in front of the microphones. But the Bulls, it will be interesting to see the development of these guys in Vegas. Is anything going to stick out to you, Sean, that you're going to be looking for there as far as anything that happens in Summer League that could be practically applied to the court when the Bulls enter the season with these guys?
Well, that's the thing about Summer League, and I'm going to go out to Vegas for, I think, the first week of Summer League or so. This will be my fifth Summer League, I believe. I've done the last four. the thing you have to look for with guys in Summer League, you can't just look at, oh, this guy, you know, really lit up Summer League. Because then you have, you know, Jared Bayless just, like, dropping 40 on guys every night at Summer League his rookie year, winning Summer League MVP. And then it turns out he's not actually a 40-point-a-game scorer in the league. The guy I remember is Damian Lillard, the season before his rookie year. I was just looking at him, and I was just like, you know, he's making all the right passes. He seems like he actually knows how to run an offense at an NBA level. He was one of the guys I was able to look at him at Summer League and just be like, this guy is going to be a good NBA player.
And that's what the Bulls are hoping to see in Denzel Valentine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily, oh, he scored however many points in this game, because these games are basically glorified scrimmages that really don't matter. It's you want to look at guys and say, okay, are they making the right plays, even if they miss a shot or they don't hit the teammate? Is he making the right pass? Is he at least staying in front of his guy on defense? Because this is going to be the first time, and I mean, I know he played at a big college program in Michigan State, but this is going to be the first time where everybody that he plays against, and I know there's a lot of guys on these Summer League rosters that aren't going to be NBA players, but everybody on these Summer League rosters is, like, theoretically possibly capable of being an NBA player, or at least a D-League player, and that's going to be a higher level of competition than he had in college.
Yeah, and you'll have to give a scouting report, too, on how his defense is, because that'll be kind of the first glimpse of that in the NBA and how it translates. Now, of course, before we get to Summer League, we're going to have NBA free agency, which starts July 1st. Actually starts June 30th at 11:01 p.m. this
Central time.
Yep, this Thursday night, our time. In that note, Bulls big man Pau Gasol did officially opt out of the third and final year of his contract with the Bulls today. That was widely expected. Pau had said he'd do it. He did it. Although Gar Foreman paid lip service to him and Joakim Noah today at the press conference in saying, hey, we'll sit down, our first priority is to say hi and talk to our own free agents. There's no expectation whatsoever at all of Pau or Joakim Noah coming back. That era is over in Chicago, basically.
Yeah, I mean, but I think the words that Gar used were, somebody asked him, like, somebody basically just said, assuming Pau and Joe aren't back, what's your plan in free agency? And he basically said that He basically when it came as close as he could without actually explicitly saying it that those two aren't going to be back. He said that he knows that they're going to have options, and that's why they traded for Robin Lopez. And it's been obvious for months that Pau is and probably Noah aren't going to be back. And I think trading for Robin Lopez just kind of sealed that on both parties.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of what Gar has said lately has been really misleading, dating back to the Jimmy Butler trade rumors last Thursday night and even before that. But I do think one of his comments or a couple of his remarks today were telling, and that's that he said, referencing free agency, we asked him, do you have to be mindful of giving out too long of a contract now, too much money to a guy who's not worth it when there's a better free agent class next year, a weaker one this year? And Gar said in part, quote, we've got this year and we've also got an eye on 2-3 years from now and even 4 or 5 years out as far as managing our salary cap and putting the best team together that we can.
Anthony Davis is a free agent in 2020.
That's a little too far out, I think. And back
Chicago
to...
Chicago kid!
Yeah, he sure is. And to continue with Gar, quote, we're going to have flexibility this summer, but more importantly, next summer and into the following summer. So he's referencing summer 2017 and summer 2018, and that's the first time that Gar really had suggested, hey, this isn't our summer. Hey, this is a 2-year rebuild, and I read into that.
And this kind of might get back into something we talked a little bit about on yesterday's show, which is that they might, if they can find the right guy who's willing to do it, maybe overpay for somebody on a per-year basis, but on like a 1 or 2 year deal, maybe see if Jeremy Lin will take like a 1 year, $18 million offer, pay him above his market rate, you know, eat up that cap space for 1 year when they're just not really planning on making any long-term commitments, and then that player can go back out into the market and cash in anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other names besides Jeremy Lin that you think that's worthwhile doing? Because as you said yesterday, there's really no bad one-year contract if you're not competing for a title.
I think there's no bad one-year deals in the league, period.
Yeah, when you have that much space, you're not competing for a title. Anyone else they should consider doing that at all with?
Well, I mean, the problem with that is, I mean, there are a lot of guys, I know the cap is going way up again in 2017, and there are going to be some guys that want to cash in, but I feel like a lot of the role players are guys that might be more in the Bulls' range of guys that might consider coming to them. Because, again, we've talked a lot on the show about like a guy like a Mike Conley or Nicholas Batum. I don't think anybody has any real expectations that those guys are actually going to consider coming to the Bulls, given the other options that they have. So the guys that are in their price range, like, or not in their price range, but in their range of
Mid-tier player.
Right, mid-tier players that might actually consider coming to the Bulls. You know, you're talking about a guy like a Jared Dudley or a
Courtney Lee,
Marvin Williams, guys like that. And I don't know how which of those guys are going to be willing to just say, you know what, I'm going to just risk not, you know, having a down year and not being able to get a long-term deal next summer and just take a one-year deal for an inflated
that's
rate.
That's the catch-22 when you aren't Kevin Durant, LeBron James, a headliner. If Kevin Durant plays on a one-year deal and tears his ACL, he's still going to get a max contract next year.
Because he's Kevin Durant.
He's Kevin Durant, he'll rehab, and he still has a bright future. When you're a guy trying to set yourself up financially for the rest of your life, take care of your family for a couple generations, you know, have a lot of cars, couple houses, nice stuff. Like, you got to cash in on
unlimited Cheesecake Factory meals every single day.
You got to cash in on that $30 or $40 million deal, if it's there, $50, whatever it is, multi-year deal. I think only the top-level guys can really be confident in signing that one-year contract. But that doesn't mean the Bulls shouldn't pursue it and try to overpay on a one-year deal, perhaps.
Right, I think that would make some sense.
And that does tie in a little bit, that Gar comment I read earlier about the 2-3 years down the line that the Bulls have in mind. A question we got from Greg on Twitter, is it safe to assume the Bulls are rebuilding? And when Gar said that, I think that's the closest he might have come to saying it's a rebuild.
Right, because he keeps calling it a retool, not a rebuild, which I think the Philadelphia 76ers have maybe poisoned the word rebuild, because if you hear somebody say, oh, they're rebuilding, that means people automatically go to that place of, oh, they're going to do what Philly did, and they're just going to completely tear it down and be terrible and trust the process and just try to get draft picks and just not even care about being competitive. You can rebuild without being competitive. I mean, without not being competitive, rather.
Yeah.
You can like change the way your roster looks, because this is going to be a fundamentally different roster. Even though, you know, 7 or 8 of the same players are going to be back. You know, if you look at like a Jimmy Butler and, you know, Nico Mirotic and Bobby Portis and Doug McDermott, there are going to be several guys on the roster who are rotation players who are going to be back. But it's going to be not a team like Derrick Rose is gone. Pau Gasol is going to be gone. Joakim Noah is going to be gone. I would imagine it's more likely than not that Taj Gibson and Mike Dunleavy are going to be gone. Those were some of the mainstays on the team the last couple of years.
Yeah, you're looking at like Jimmy Butler being one of the veterans on the team. Not just a leader because he's good and kind of self-appointed in that role and they traded Derrick Rose,
but he's one of the older players. He might be the most tenured. I'd have to look back, but if Taj and Dunleavy are gone, I mean, if Taj is gone, because Taj has been on the team longer than him, he might be the most tenured guy on the team now that Derek's gone.
Yeah, if Taj did leave. But that comment from Gar was basically saying the Bulls are probably going to like sit out free agency. Going to be a really low-profile vibe
for them.
He
mentioned Etuan Moore as a priority for them to re-sign.
Yeah, and I do think,
which I think is smart if you can get him for a reasonable price. He was a useful player last year. He can play both guard positions. He's a solid defender. He's a good outside shooter.
Yep, and the key with Etuan Moore is to keep him in that role that suits him, in which he doesn't have to be a primary playmaker or facilitator on offense. Those second units for the Bulls went downhill in a hurry when Etuan Moore was playing point or like had to establish the offense and the flow. And you had Doug McDermott coming off screens and nothing was open. Then all of a sudden, Etuan Moore, Bobby Portis pick and roll didn't go anywhere. And you're kind of like, oh, there's a dead possession. It was a time, I think, in January where several Bulls stumped for him starting. And he did have a starting stretch when Mike Dunleavy was out with the back injury. And Derek and Jimmy were highly complimentary of Etuan because he was kind of the third guy in the backcourt, and he just spot up, hit threes, played good defense. Not necessarily your primary on-ball defender, but he can check guys like that for a while, you know what I mean? And all the things I hear about the Bulls with Etuan Moore has been a good vibe on both sides, because Etuan did appreciate the opportunity he got from Fred Hoiberg.
Right, because when he signed with the Bulls, it was a 2-year minimum deal. He was kind of one of those fringe guys. He had been in Boston for a couple years. He'd been in Orlando for a couple years. He was one of those guys that kind of was bouncing around between the D-League and the NBA and kind of being the 14th or 15th guy on rosters. It wasn't really fully established that, yes, this guy is consistently an NBA rotation player. He gets to Chicago, and then, you know, his first year under Thibodeau and then also under Hoiberg, he played some quality minutes. I think he's going to get a big deal this summer.
Yeah, I mean, he'll get a league average pay, I think, at least. I think that's supposed to be
5, 6, 7 a year.
Supposed to be 6.2 or 3, I think, this year for a league average salary or so. So he should be somewhere in that range on a multi-year deal. But remember, the Bulls have 13 players on their roster now, I believe, under contract. So they're not looking to add like four or five guys, obviously, in free agency. A guy in free agency who is a headliner, we got a question about him on Twitter from Boss on Twitter. So thank you for that avatar and screen name, Boss. But is it likely the Bulls would be interested in Hassan Whiteside, the center from the Miami Heat, who's an excellent defender and a double-double machine last year, kind of?
I totally understand the reservations about Whiteside. He does, as far as his defense goes, he does kind of chase blocks a little bit. And he also, he's also just the kind of guy, I have no idea what he's going to look like once he gets paid. He might be the kind of guy who gets the big contract and then just kind of stops.
Yeah.
I think if he would be willing to take the Bulls' money, I think that would be a good move. He's a better defensive center than Robin Lopez, and he can do a little bit more on the offensive end. I think it would be a good fit, but I also don't expect. I think we've already seen the Lakers and the Mavericks are going to be pursuing him aggressively. There's going to be other teams. I don't think it's a realistic option.
Yeah, and the thing that got me about Whiteside, I don't think the Bulls should pursue him because I think there was enough drama last year between Jimmy, Derek, and just the whole locker room, and Fred establishing himself in his voice. I don't think you need anyone who creates any more drama or might carry any baggage with them. And, I mean, Hassan Whiteside's on record recently as saying, loyalty to the Miami Heat doesn't matter in free agency. Like, the Bulls would be really well served to sign guys who are going to be loyal to the program and the organization. And obviously he would be if he signed a big contract with whoever. So I'm not saying that's going to hinder him down the road. But, I mean, just comments like that just kind of make me laugh and I guess also roll my eyes a little bit. So we don't expect the Bulls to chase Hassan Whiteside in free agency. I don't know who they will chase big names in free agency at all. We talked yesterday about Mike Conley would make sense. I guess the only other one really would be Nicholas Batum, who you brought up a little bit.
Yeah, but and again, he's the kind of guy who would fit well on all 30 teams in the league, and I just don't see he's going to have so many options and so many teams are going to have cap space. I don't see why the Bulls would really be an appealing situation for him.
Yeah, and another situation that doesn't seem appealing to the Bulls, but we got a Twitter question from Charville. What are your thoughts on a trade between the Bulls and Cavaliers surrounding Kevin Love on the Bulls end, getting Kevin Love, and Taj Gibson, Nikola Mirotic, Mike Dunleavy, and the Kings pick? Some format of that going back to Cleveland. Love the effort on the question. Can't really agree with the sentiment.
I mean, David Griffin was on ESPN Radio yesterday, the Cavaliers GM, and he said that their plan is to keep this entire group together. So, even though he came up huge in Game 7 for the Cavs and made that huge defensive play on Steph Curry late and had 14 rebounds, I still don't think Kevin Love is an ideal fit with Cleveland, and I think it would be smart for them to look at moving him. But if they do, I think they can get more back than anything the Bulls have to offer. If you look at, like, Denver has a lot of pieces, Boston has a lot of pieces. And this is kind of a thing, and this isn't just about Kevin Love, because, you know, Kevin Love would do fine here, but it just kind of shows that the Bulls are just not really a team that has enough assets outside of Jimmy Butler, because if you're trading for a guy like Kevin Love, you're trading for him to pair with Jimmy Butler. You don't want to just go back to a situation where it's him and a bunch of guys on rookie contracts like he had in Minnesota before he got traded to Cleveland. You want to trade for a guy like that, or a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, or whichever star is going to go on the market next, to pair with Jimmy Butler. And outside of Jimmy Butler, like, the Bulls just don't have enough assets that other teams who have a star like that are going to find attractive enough to really want to get a deal done.
And my favorite part of Kevin Love this year was that he literally saved his best defensive play. His best defensive effort.
Of his life.
Of his life.
Not even just of his season, of his life.
Not just his professional career. At any level basketball he's ever played, saved his best effort to hound Steph Curry into a three-point miss that basically helped pave the way for the Cavs title with a Game 7 on the line after he'd been dogged the whole year about exactly that weakness.
Right, I mean, and there were times in the series when he was out Game 3 with the concussion and Richard Jefferson started in his place and the Cavs blew the Warriors out, there was the whole, are the Cavs better without Kevin Love? Like, in other games, you know, he played 12 minutes, and then you know, then he was one of their most important players in Game 7. So, you know, it's a nice thought, the Bulls putting together a package for Kevin Love, but first of all, I don't think they have enough to get it done, and also the Cavs have kind of indicated that they're not really looking to trade him or trade anybody at this point because they just won the title.
It's just simply not going to happen. What will happen, though, we can promise you, is a Bulls free agency preview podcast dropping Tuesday night is our plan leading up to, again, as we pointed out earlier, the start of free agency late Thursday evening, which will be entertaining to see with the spike in the salary cap. Again, don't expect huge names and money thrown around from the Bulls for long-term
money.
Well,
there will be huge money thrown around in the short term.
Yes, in the short term. Not a lot of huge ramifications for Bulls long-term we don't expect, but we'll get into that plenty tomorrow. As always, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com if you have any advertising inquiries. Follow us on Twitter, @LockedOnBulls.
And then also @Hyken and @CodyWesterland. And you know, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review. Subscribe to us on Stitcher. And we will be back with you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.